Asia Pacific currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
All views of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Asia Pacific Currents here on Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hanna.
I'm Kieran Bennett.
And I'm James Barry.
We're taking you through to 9:30 this morning. Of course, Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. You can find us on the web or the ws.aawl.org.au. We are on Facebook and Substack. Look us up on those social media platforms. Now, Kieran and James, I did have a story lined up for the second part of the show. I had very, very deep hopes of speaking with Jerome from Bayan Muna in the Philippines. There's no other way to describe it, but the shit show in the Philippines Congress and Senate.
A senator on the run.
That's right.
Is he literally still bunkered up in the Senate building?
No, he escaped. He's a fugitive.
He's a fugitive now. Like, there was a shootout in the Senate about trying to arrest a senator.
Yes.
Yes, but it's more complicated than that because there are allegations of that being a stunt in order for him to get out. So, but when I contacted our comrades in the Philippines and I said, can we cover this? They wrote back and said, what a shit show is the Philippines right now. Like, that's what our comrades said to me. So, anyway, it doesn't. I've been trying to get in touch with Jerome this morning, and I haven't been able to. So I suspect by 9:15, that's not going to happen. It is 7 o'clock in the morning over there. So,
Jerome, if you're listening there from the Philippines, if you're tuning into 3CR through the web, give us a call.
In lieu of that, though, we have been kind of closely watching Cosimaris's polling on the developments of fascism and the far right in Australian politics. And we thought it was probably worth having a discussion about that. So that is what we'll be doing in the second part of the show today.
Absolutely. But first, of course, we are going to go to union news from around the region. James, I think you can lead us off. What's our first story?
In Korea, the Samsung union has called off a strike with a tense agreement being reached this week. On Thursday, the government of South Korea mediated an agreement between Samsung Electrics and the union, leading to the union to call off a planned 18-day strike of 48,000 workers. Samsung workers had protested the large gap in bonuses with their peers at a smaller rival, SK Hynix, which provides advanced AI chip units to NVIDIA. Despite calls to match or outdo SK Hynix, Samsung delivered smaller bonuses. So under the deal, all chip workers will receive 50% of their annual salary as a regular bonus in cash, and Samsung will set aside 10.5% of operating profit for special bonuses in the form of stock, 40% of which will be distributed across its chip businesses and the rest used to reward memory chip unit employees. The dispute has exposed deep divisions of how the spoils of the AI boom are shared, as memory chip workers will gain huge bonuses, while employees in other chip divisions will receive much less. The union members are voting on the agreement starting yesterday until next Wednesday, and the union's leader has said that he expects the agreement to be ratified.
And moving to Iran, on Wednesday, the Iranian Teachers Trade Association, the country's main teachers union, issued a warning that reported military training for children and teenagers in mosques and bazij centres violates international child protection standards. Bazij. The Bazij is the youth wing of the powerful Revolutionary Guard Corps. The union issued their statement in response to video circulating online that appear to show minors receiving organised training involving weapons such as Kalashnikov rifles and Winchester firearms. The union has labelled these activities as a militarisation of childhood and warned they amount to a violation of Iran's obligations under the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. The union called for an independent and transparent investigation by responsible domestic and international bodies. During the Iran-Iraq War, the Basij mobilized an estimated 500,000 boys between the age of 12 and 18, with at least 35,000 killed in so-called human wave attacks, where unarmed child soldiers led charges against the Iraqi front line. It's horrific.
And you know, post the adoption of the Rome Statutes and the establishment of the International Criminal Court, you know, recruiting children into armed conflict is a crime against humanity. Let's head on to Palestine. And of course, we had Israel's illegal actions against the Samud Flotilla. Several international union confederations, including the World Federation of Trade Unions and the International Union Confederation, have joined a chorus of global condemnation against the Israeli government this week after the mistreatment of activists on a flotilla aimed at breaking the blockade was broadcast across the world. The WFTU described the assault on civilian medicines on civilian vessels carrying medicine, medical supplies, and aid intended for a population subjected to bombardment, starvation, and systematic destruction constitutes a grave crime against Palestinian people and against those mobilizing in solidarity with them. The ITUC condemned the treatment of the activists, calling on those detained to be released immediately and humanitarian aid to reach civilians safely and without obstruction.
In Turkey now, where the teachers' union has reported on state-funded child labour, Eğitim İş, a union representing teachers in Türkiye, released a report on Monday which criticised the recent expansion of the vocational training system for teenagers, stating that the government was prioritising employers' labour needs over students' education. The report further highlighted that students enrolled in the country's Vocational Education Centres program, or MESEM, spend most of the week at workplaces, usually 4 days a week, under weeks' supervision and in hazardous conditions. The union cited workplace deaths involving students and what it described as increasing business influence over public education. According to the report, many students receive little structured vocational instruction and instead perform unrelated tasks and physically demanding work. Student enrollment in MESEM programs has risen threefold to 560,000 over the past 5 years.
And in India, the Gig and Platform Services Workers Union announced last Saturday that more than 60% of workers across Indian cities participated in a nationwide strike called in protest against rising fuel prices and inadequate compensation for gig workers. The strike saw significant mobilisation of platform-based workers, including delivery partners and ride-hailing drivers, who collectively raised their concerns over the decline in real earnings. The participation levels reflect growing distress among gig workers and their urgent demand for fair compensation mechanisms. The union issued its thanks to workers, to media organisations and journalists for bringing visibility to the struggles of gig workers and acknowledged the understanding and support extended by consumers during the course of the strike. Despite repeated appeals, there has been no concrete response from the government or platform companies regarding the key demand to increase the per-order handling fee by 20 US cents to offset rising operational costs, especially fuel prices. Unions warned that if immediate steps are not taken to address this demand, the union will be compelled to escalate its action.
And over to Singapore and job losses. The Food, Drinks and Allied Workers Union and the National Trade Union Congress of Singapore have announced that they're working to support 141 employees affected by Gardenia Foods' decision to cease production at its manufacturing facility in Singapore at the end of June and shift its bakery operations to Malaysia. FDWU is mobilising support measures, including job placement assistance, training opportunities and discussions with the company on fair retrenchment terms, and has also contacted affiliates to identify suitable vacancies for affected workers. The workers were informed of the decision at an internal meeting on Wednesday morning. FDAWU representatives were present at the meeting and said the company is constructively engaging on fair retrenchment terms. Gardenia's announcement comes amidst heightened attention on retrenchments and restructuring exercises in Singapore as the company joins a recent cluster of high-profile businesses moving operations out of Singapore. Several other food and beverage companies, including Heineken-owned Asia-Pacific Breweries and can manufacturer Yeo Hiep Seng, have announced retrenchments this year as they move operations to Malaysia and Vietnam. We're going to go to a couple of community service announcements, and then we're going to discuss recent developments with the growth of far-right and fascist politics in Australia.
Do you care about older people's housing? Are you keen to talk to politicians and your community about why housing for older people is important?
Then become a housing champion with Housing for the Age Action Group. The Housing Champions program will train older people to talk about housing leading up to the Victorian election in November this year. For more information and to register your interest, go to Housing for the Age Action Group's website, oldertenants.org.au, or call us on 03 9654 7389.
A 3CR supporter.
The work cover system is broken. Delays, denials, and profit-driven decisions are hurting real people, physically, mentally, and financially. Add your support to the call for change by the Injured Workers Support Team. Visit the Parliament of Victoria website, find the Legislative Reform for Workers' Compensation System e-petition, and add your name. Stand with the IWST and injured workers. Demand a system that is centred on recovery, dignity, and safety. Sign the petition today. IWST is a 3CR supporter.
Don't miss Future Country, the Country Road and NGV First Nations Commission's exhibition, now showing at NGV Australia. See new work by eight emerging First Nations artists from around Australia who've been guided by esteemed industry mentors to present their most ambitious works to date. From weaving and photography to sculpture and possum skin cloak making, experience these powerful works in this free exhibition, open daily until 13 September. Learn more at ngv.melbourne.
A 3CR supporter.
A song which comes from Japan. They say that hardly anybody up there has not heard it at some time.
Furusato no machi akare miyori no hone umese yakatsuchi ni ima wa shiroi hana saku ayurusu no jigenbaku o mitabi urusu ma jigenbaku o warera no machi ni.
In the place where our old home village was destroyed, we buried the charred bones of our relatives. Oh, we must never allow, we must absolutely forbid another atom bomb to fall. Deadly rain gathers poison from the sky, and the fish carry death in the depths of the sea. Fishing boats are...
It is 14 minutes past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. We had a couple of technical issues getting Jerome on the line, but he is with us now. Welcome to the program, Jerome.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning. Jerome is the chairperson of the KMU, Kilalsung Mayor Uno, which is the militant union centre in the Philippines. And we have the good fortune, I guess, and the privilege of being able to speak with you this morning, quite frankly, about what can only be described as the shenanigans in the Philippine Senate at the moment. Do you want to talk us through some of the events of the last couple of weeks?
It's a crazy politics in the Philippines because, as you know, it came from, because as we understand, and part of the workers, and of course of the ordinary people, Senator De La Rosa Bato have existing warrant of arrest coming from the ICC. But it's not put in public. which according to the ICC, it's a secret, you know. But then again, because of trouble between the camp of Marcos and Duterte to save themselves on the rampant corruptions in the Philippines, the Duterte camp wants to plan to change the leadership in the Senate. And then afterwards, that's why Bato de la Rosa come to the Senate to be able to vote in favor for Alan Cayetano to replace Senator Soto as a Senate President. So this is what's happened. Two things. Because before de la Rosa come to the Senate, open and come to the Senate, the impeachment proceedings in the House of Representatives is in the process. And basically on that day, the House of Representatives is decide with overwhelming vote of 255 congressmen in favor to impeach Sara Duterte. On that day, supposedly the impeachment complaint will be transmit to the Senate. And this is also the time that Senate President Soto was replaced by Alan Cayetano. Two things. One, to save, not to convict Sara Duterte on the case of rampant corruption. Second, to be able to do that, we have to change the leadership in favor of Alan Cayetano because Marcos and Duterte putting themselves that no, the Duterte camp is clean in terms of corruptions. If there is a corrupt, the Marcos administrations. On the other side, the Marcos administration telling that no, I'm not corrupt, only the vice president. So this is the situation in the Philippines, and things happen, you know, during the time. There is information coming from the NBI, coming from the police that will serve the warrant of arrest of ICC to De La Rosa. And then afterward, there is a commotion, there is a gunshots in the Senate. So all of these things happens against the will of the Filipino people, of the workers in the Philippines, against the will, because we want a justice. Simply, we want a justice. Use the Senate to have a justice against those politician corrupts, particularly Sara Duterte. This is what happens in the Senate.
It is quite extraordinary developments in the Philippines, yet corruption is not new to Filipino workers and to those voting and participating in civil society. Why do you think this has reached the current situation, particularly with the ICC potential prosecutions? Why has it reached this level in the Philippines? How do you explain that development, given corruption's not new for your political system?
Well, of course, why important the ICC, and why the ICC comes to the Philippines? Because the justice systems in the Philippines that does not work to the poor people, particularly those victims. You know, this case against humanity, against Rodrigo Roa Duterte, against Bato, and some others. There is a rumors that not only De La Rosa have a warrant of arrest, but there is some culprit of Duterte administrations. If the case will hear here in the Philippines, it will not. The victims will not get justice because they really they have a capacity to control the justice system in the Philippines. They have a big influence, control in major agencies in the Philippines, and they have a lot of resources, particularly money to buy the justice system in the Philippines. That's why for us, the issues of warrant of arrest entering the ICC is one step ahead to get a justice for all those victims. Imagine 30,000 ordinary Filipinos killed during the drug wars of Duterte administrations. And as I always say, that the Filipino workers and the people stand that we must get the justice for these ordinary people, so victims of Rodrigo Duterte, Bato de la Rosa, and some others. So this is very important for us that ICC comes into the Philippines and get arrested all those perpetrators and put in trial.
Well, actually, across the world, what we're seeing is an increase in anti-establishment sentiment, people moving away from the structures of democracy that they believe don't serve their function anymore. I think corruption in Philippines politics might also play a role in that for rank and file workers in the Philippines. How has this impacted the organising work that the KMU does through your affiliated unions? Is the consciousness of workers increasing towards action, or is it having a similar effect as we're seeing across the world, which is a disengagement, a resignation, a cynicism towards the establishment?
Yeah, the corruption is also connected to in terms of unionizations in the Philippines. You know, as you can see, if you look at the data of the Philippines, it's come from the government because it's very conservative. The unionizations of workers in the Philippines is continuously decreasing. Two major issues of rampant violations of fundamental rights of Filipino workers. One, the issues of, because the unionizations in the Philippines is criminalized by the state. So what I'm trying to say, even in our constitution and labor laws say that there is no right to interfere all those state forces in terms of organizing a union. But in the actual organizings of workers in the union, the National Task Force, the NTFL-CAP, composed of military and police, was there going to the communities of the workers, house to house, just to preempt the issues of forming or organizing a union. Second, those who have a union, they are militarized, they are forced to disaffiliate, particularly in the KMU. Second thing was the issues of rampant contractualizations, because right now, total employed of the Filipino workers have almost close to 50 million, both public and private. Majority of them, 60% to 80% or 70% to 80% are in the contractual status. In our labor laws, when you are in a contractual status, you are not allowed to organize or join a union. If you are not allowed to organize or join a union, basically your basic the worker's basic right is violated. So by the state itself that supposedly protect us to freely exercise our right to organize.
Just to get back to De La Rosa and the drug war, I wondered if you could tell our listeners a little bit about how much the drug war was used for red tagging and targeting political opponents in the union movement rather than dealing with so-called drug dealers.
Well, I have information on one of the human rights here in the Philippines, the Karapatan, was to have a complete information how Gilberto De La Rosa involved in this case. Because the drug war designed by the past administrations, by the Duterte administration, they launched a fake war against drug. But definitely behind of this, his family is one of the identified the drug syndicate in the Philippines. So this is the game plan of the Duterte administrations to be able to see in the public that these past administrations, they have a serious, according to them, a serious campaigns against drugs. Of course, they victimize all the ordinary people, all those jobless, all those poor community, simply killed by the police during the time. And if you killed, simply you put one sachet of drugs, and then they say that no, this is a drug dealer, or they fight against the police, so that's why he killed. So this is the this is the story of this. So until now, all the victims, family, friends are really, really fear, really want to be able to get a justice. So one step of the getting a justice is to get arrested, Bato de la Rosa. So not only the Puerto Mindis victim of this, even the workers, even the organizers, workers are in covered by this campaign that so-called house-to-house campaigns, according to them, against drug, but it is used by surveillance to locate all those organizers and union leaders, and then afterwards, it's easy to take stories to be able to prosecute us.
Jerome, thank you so much for your time on the program this morning. Such a mammoth task ahead of the workers' movement in the Philippines. And, you know, this has a long way to play out from here. But just in the concluding minutes of our time together, is there anything you wanted to add?
Thank you so much, Giselle, and the rest of your crew there. Thank you for giving me a little space or little time to be able to talk about the real stories in the Philippines. And it's a big help for us. And, we still call on the international community, the workers, please tell the Philippine story to others, their story, and join with us to the get justice for all the victims of past administrations, workers, and poor Filipino people. Thank you so much, and good morning, everyone.
Thank you so much, Jerome. Jerome is the chairperson of the KMU, Kilusang Mayo Uno, which is the Militant Labour Centre in the Philippines. Of course, we weren't sure we were going to get him, so it was fabulous that that story did come through in the end. And we may or may not get a chance to share with you our thoughts about Cosimaris's polling of the far right in Australia. But also, you know, there's a really long state election campaign and 2 years before the federal election campaign, so a lot of time to discuss that. But that does bring us to the end of another Asia Pacific Currents here on Community Radio 3CR. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up next is Palestine Remembered, but that's it from me, Giselle Hannah.
Me, James Barry.
And me, Kieran Bennett.